contains a total of 176 verses. It is a Hebrew acrostic. Each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are represented in 8 verse segments, with each verse within those 8 verses beginning with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So today we come to the second of those Hebrew letters, the letter Bet. B would be in English. But we come today, verses 9 through 16, in the psalm, which is all about the value of the Word of God. Psalm 119, we're going to read verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This ends this reading in God's word. Let's now look to him in prayer. Lord, we do pray now that your word would shine brightly in our midst, especially the teaching and instruction that we receive from these 8 verses out of Holy Scripture would have an enduring impact in our lives. Even as the psalmist prayed that you would teach him your statutes, so we pray the same. O Lord, be our teacher in this coming hour, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Bible is a book for all types of people. It's a book for the rich. It's a book also for the poor. It's a book for people who occupy every occupation and station in life. It's a book for people of every kind of personality, every sort of interest. It's a book for absolutely every nation and every culture. The Bible is a book for the old. But the Bible is also a book for the young. And we come to a passage today in which there is special application that is made to the young. You know, God cares about those who are young. It was Jesus himself who said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." The sign of baptism is placed upon our children. Our children are brought up within the bosom of the church. The church is, as it were, that nursery from which true faith springs. Children are extraordinarily important in the kingdom of God. Do you know that if you're a child? That God cares about the young. And what we have for tonight's sermon is a word especially for the young. For those that are children, or perhaps teenagers, or a little older than teenagers, you're still young. Here is a word especially for you. Now, I'm going to preach especially for the young tonight, but that doesn't mean that the rest of you can't listen in. Okay? There's going to be many things which you can learn about how to bring up children, the things that are important for children. It will teach you how to pray for the youth of this church, a way to take an interest in the youth of this church. And you know, we will find that the things that are important for the young are generally things that are important for those that are older too. So there will be a thing or two here that you can apply to your own life as well. But I do have the young especially in mind. We're going to look at tonight's sermon young people in two different heads. First of all, the first thing we're going to see is the young person's great need. The young person's great need. And then secondly, we're going to consider the young person's sure guide. The young person's great need, followed by the young person's sure guide. This psalm, or this section of Psalm 119, begins with these words: "How can a young man keep his way pure?" Some translations will say, "How can a young man cleanse his way?" That is, how can the young person, whether you're a boy or a girl, how can you have a way that is pure or clean in the sight of God? That's the question that the psalmist asks. Now, he is saying that you need to be cleansed. You might say, well, why? What do I need to be cleansed from? That would be a good question. You know, if I were to stand in front of you and said that you need to go out and do 100 push-ups, you would rightly say, well, why do I need to do that? Or if I were to tell you, well, you need to begin to grow your hair down all the way to your waist, well, again, you would say, wait a second. Why do I need to do that? And so if I stand up here and say, young person, you need to be cleansed. That's what you need. You need to be clean. You need to be pure. Well, you rightly ask, why? I'm so glad you asked, because we're going to answer that question. Let me give you three reasons why you need to be pure, or you need to be cleansed, and why this is your great need. And the first of those reasons is the problem of original sin. The problem of original sin. Do you know that when the Bible says, when God created our first parents, Adam and Eve, the Bible says that he made them after his image, according to his likeness. And this means that God created mankind upright, in true knowledge and righteousness and holiness. People were made to live the life of God, to please him with a pure life. But the problem is, as we read in Genesis chapter 3, that the fall happened, and that mankind rebelled against God. Eve took of that fruit and gave to Adam, and he ate of that fruit in disobedience to God. And when he ate of that fruit, it impacted not only Adam, but it impacted all mankind that came after Adam, including us who live today. The Bible teaches very clearly that because of the fall, we are born into this world sinners. And so Genesis 5 in verse 3. Remember earlier I told you how God made man after his own image and according to his likeness. Genesis 5 and verse 3 says that when Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image, and named him Seth. So when Adam had a child, he was born after his image as a sinner in this world. He was born into this world a sinner. And so after one generation was after, then another generation was born. Genesis 6 and verse 5 says about all of these generations that were born, that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In other words, that from birth, we are born stained with sin. That's why David, in Psalm 51, that great psalm of repentance, says in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Or Psalm 58 and verse 3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. they go astray from birth, speaking lies. There's a problem of original sin. We're born into this world as sinners. Now, the evidence of this shouldn't be hard to find. Okay, it was just this afternoon that my youngest progeny came through the living room with slumped shoulders, and a visitor to our house this afternoon, we had people in our home, said, "Aw, I recognize that, the exasperated child look." In other words, he was saying, we have the same thing in our family. And it was something that we didn't have to teach our children. They didn't have to teach their children it, right? Oh, we're born into this world sinners. Born into this world sinners. It's a problem of original sin from which we need to be cleansed. And so you are born with a corrupted nature. And you might say, well, how did that happen? I don't like that. It's unfair that I have it. Well, we can talk about the fairness of it some other time. The fact is, you can't deny that it's there. It's what you have. And unless changed, it makes you liable to the wrath and to the curse of God. And so that's the first reason you need to be cleansed. It's the problem of original sin. But the second reason is the problem of youthful folly. The problem of youthful folly. There are certain sins which youth often fall into, which are dangerous to their souls. Okay? That is, from the fountainhead, as it were, of our original sin, our corrupt hearts, flow forth all kinds of other sins as well. And there are certain sins, even, which are especially found in those who are young. At times there's a kind of despising of authority or a rebelliousness, a confidence in yourself that you have life figured out and you don't need to hear from other people what to do. As well, the sin of people-pleasing, of trying to be popular with others. Sometimes a sin of youth. Often the sin of using our mouths in bad ways, speaking lies, things aren't true, or cursing even. Something that frequently comes from those who are young. Or there's a lack of self-control that can lead later youth to sexual immorality or experimenting with drugs and drinking and things like that that are not pleasing to the Lord. All of these are sins of youth, and they're common. I mean, it's the kind of thing that the world talks about it as if it's normal. You know, young people, it's just their time to kind of sow wild oats. And they say, "Oh, you know what it was like when we were young. Well, we just did those things. That's what young people do." And that's what the way that the world thinks about it. And the point is that there are sins which, if unchecked, youth will fall into. They need to be cleansed from it. Because the problem is, if we aren't cleansed from those sins multiply and they establish patterns in our life that continue as we grow older. Many people who are habitual liars as adults say it began when they were a child. Or who have a foul mouth, it began when they were young. Or who have a problem with drugs, it began when they were young. And so these sins of youth need to be cleansed. Your sins need to be cleansed. So I simply ask you, do you, young people, feel your own sin nature? Do you realize that there are these foolish sins of youth? And your great need, this psalm says, is to be purified, to be cleansed from these sins. You desperately need it. So much. You know, if you were to go out on a rainy day, and you were to begin to find some mud and roll around in the mud, I mean, get yourself covered head to toe, and then come to my door and knock on the door and ask to come and take a seat in my living room, what do you think I would say? Sure, come on. No, I would say, go up and get a shower. There's a shower upstairs. Go get a shower first, and you're welcome to sit all you want. Well, dear friends, you and I cannot sit, as it were, in the house of God, cannot have fellowship with God while we are covered in the mud of our sins. We need to have our sins forgiven. We need to be purified by the Holy Spirit. Young people, that is your great need, to be cleansed in this way. But let me give you a third reason why you need to be cleansed. Not only because of the problem of original sin and of, secondly, of youthful folly, but the third reason that you need to be cleansed is what I'm calling the great opportunity of youth. The great opportunity of youth. Everything that I've spoken about so far has been negative, hasn't it? The sins that we're born with. The stupid and sinful things that we do when we're young. But let me give you a third reason that's very positive why you need to be cleansed. And the third reason is this, is that there is no better time, no better time in the world to serve God than when you are young. It's a wonderful thing. You know, God is the one who made us young. This is part of His plan. That we would go from being born and go through all the stages of life until later. And so God is the author of youth. It's not a bad thing to be young. It's a wonderful thing. It's part of God's plan. And God's special purpose for the young is that they would use those years to serve Him. One preacher, Jim Boyce, says that God says, if you are going to live for me, you must begin at the earliest possible moment, without delay, preferably when you are very young. You know, we have wonderful examples of this, found in Holy Scripture and in other places too. Think of Joseph in the Old Testament. You know, the one with the coat of many colors? He was a wonderfully godly man. And he began when he was young. He did what was right, and he sought to serve God. And God blessed him, and God was with him during the very young years of his life. Or you can think about Daniel and Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were young men, very young, when they were brought into that foreign land. And they served God. They had a desire to serve God with a clear conscience in that land. It was an opportunity while they were young. You can think about King Josiah, brought to the throne when he was just 8 years old. He was made king, and yet he had a heart for God. Think of David, chosen, anointed to be the next king over Israel when he was but a shepherd youth. Think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. But a teenager, when she, as a servant of God, became the bearer of the Christ child. Think of young Timothy, whom Paul told to not be allow others to look down on his youth. He served God when he was young, in positions, ultimately, of real responsibility. But not only in the Scriptures, church history tells us also of many who began to serve God even when they were young. We know that in the days of Jonathan Edwards, when there was revival just north of here in Northampton, that there was a great work of God among some of the young people. They would hold prayer meetings just for the young. And the young began to talk with one another about the things of God and profess faith in Christ. It happened while they were young. You can think of the preacher Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon, it was but as a youth, when he walked into that chapel and he heard the words that he was to look to Jesus Christ and be saved, and he did, and then he became a preacher when he was very young. He was 16 years old or something like that when he first started preaching the gospel. It was a time for him to serve God when he was young. I can think of many others in our own day There are certain men that I've looked up to. Pastor Al Martin, one of my favorite preachers, was while he was a teenager in Stamford, Connecticut, that he was converted. And he went out on the streets very young, as a teenager. He would go out on the streets and begin preaching the gospel to anybody that would hear. Began an itinerant ministry when he was, I don't remember how old, but young, 20 years old, something like that, 20, 21, 22 years old. In the service of God. My friend Joel Beakey, who many of you have profited from his writings. He's the president of the seminary where Ricardo goes. Joel Beakey, he began reading the Puritans when he was a teenager. When he was a teenager. He began to digest the writings of the Puritans, and his life was changed. It was impacted by it. We could just go on and on. There's writers, young lady, some of you are from Jaquel Crow, who's written a book. I think when she was 19, she wrote a book, I think, for young people. Again, serving the Lord when we're young. And we go around this room, and many of you had really formative influences on your own life. It was when you were young the Lord worked. I mean, just look around this room. Ron Heald, he was brought to this church when he was a teenager, met Owl Valley and was converted, and his life was changed. And Ken Perot here, same thing, watching Billy Graham as a young person on the TV screen and was brought to church, and his life was transformed. It was while we were young. My own wife was brought up in a Christian home and had that formative influence while she was young. My father-in-law was converted while he was a teenager, and he went home and told his mom about this Christian faith that he had begun to learn of, and she eventually became a Christian through witness of her child. Okay, just go on and on. What an impact can be made on the young. There is no better time to serve the Lord, dear friends, than when you are young. And do you know the people who did not, even here maybe, who are Christians and did not serve the Lord when they were young, say, oh, that I wish that I had. I'm grateful for whenever it is that God converted me, but oh, it would have been better to have not wasted the years of my youth, but to have spent those serving the Lord. So I just say to you who are young now, there is no better time in the world to give your lives to Jesus Christ than when you are young. Remember your Creator, the Bible says, in the days of your youth. It's a wonderful time. It's a time when you are full of zeal and energy. And now you can begin to establish habits that you'll take with you as you get older. And you know, one of the best encouragements to a whole congregation is when we see our young people serious about God. Did you know that, young people? You guys can be one of the best encouragements to those who are much older than you in the church. It's one of the most encouraging things in the world when we see young people, children, and teenagers who are serious about their walk with God and want to follow Him. So why should you be cleansed? Because of the problem of original sin. Because of the problem of youthful folly. But because it is the best opportunity in the world to serve God while you are young. All right, now let's move secondly now with the remainder of our time. We've seen the young person's great need. Let's see now the young person's sure guide. The young person's sure guide. And here we're going to jump a little bit more into some of the teaching of this psalm. Verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Here's the answer. It is by guarding it according to your word. What is it that young people need if they would be cleansed? They need, it says, the word of God. Why do you need the word of God so much? Well, it is because that word does a number of things for you as your sure guide for life. On the one hand, the word is what will reveal to you the sin of your heart so that you will repent.
Also, it's the word that will lead you to faith in the Savior, whose blood alone can cleanse you. It's the word as well which will stir up in your heart a love for the Savior so that you will desire to please him. And it's the word also which will then direct you to the kind of life that is well-pleasing to God. So you need the word of God. It's the sure guide for the young who would be cleansed. You need the word of God which shows you Jesus Christ in every part. And every part of the word is precious. From those Old Testament books of history that tell you of the ways of God with Israel, to the prophets who applied God's word and spoke of the coming Savior, to the gospel accounts that record for us the birth and the life, the words and the miracles of our Lord Jesus, and especially his dying love on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, to the epistles of Paul, which give us such rich theology which will enrich our souls, to the book of Acts, which tells us of the early church, and of the revelation that we're looking at in Sunday morning services, which give us a vision of the glorious and exalted Christ. All of the Bible is so precious, and it's what you need, children. And youth and young people, you need more of the Bible. You need more of the Holy Scriptures. How precious is the Word of God? Won't you make this book yours even now? Well, the ways that we are to make this book ours is really what the rest of this psalm then is concerned about. We've just kind of gone over verse 9 so far. But in verses 10 through 16, it's going to tell us how the Word of God, which is able to point us to Christ, which is able to bring cleansing into our life, it tells us how we are to make it ours. And again, I want to apply this word especially to the young, but it's a word for all of us too. How can we make this book ours even now? I want to say four things, okay? And with this, we're closing our sermon today. Four things with the remainder of our time. First of all, it means that you should memorize and meditate on God's word. You should memorize and meditate on God's word. You should do lots of things with the word of God. You should read the Bible. You should study the Bible. You should read books about the Bible. You especially should come and hear sermons about the Bible and Sunday school lessons about the Bible. You should receive Bible teaching in lots and lots of different ways. But there are two things that this psalm especially points out that you should memorize and meditate on the Word of God. We can see this, for example, in verse 11. Verse 11, it says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's talking about memorizing God's word. That's how you store it up in your heart. I can think of a few different games, like card games that you play, where you have your hand of cards, and you have especially one or two really good cards, and you kind of store it up in your hand so at just the right moment in the game, you're going to play it and, you know, destroy somebody else's hand. You store it up in your hand for just the right time. Well, God's word works in that way too. We want to store it up in our minds. Think about it, to remember it, to memorize it, so that we'll have it at just the right times in our Christian life. That's what the Lord Jesus did when he was in the wilderness. You remember, he was tempted by Satan, and three times he was tempted, and every time, what did Jesus respond with? Children, you know, he quoted the word of God back to Satan. Okay, he quoted God's word back to Satan. Okay, and so should we have a store of God's word in our mind so that we can make use of it in different times. Maybe there are times that we're sad. You know that you can be comforted by God's word. Okay, there are times that you are tempted. Well, it's God's word that can tell you how to avoid that temptation and how to remain faithful to God. There are times when you are need to share your faith with somebody? Well, it's God's word that you can share with them. Above all, God's word helps us to remember who God is and his character and the things that he's done for us. And that gives such life to our souls. So we need to store up God's word. And there's no better time to memorize God's word than when you're young. Those of us who are older say, oh, we can't memorize anything anymore. It's so hard. Well, when you're young, it's the perfect time to do it. Store up God's word in your heart. And he says you store it up so that you might not sin against God. It's by storing up God's word. Matthew Henry says that our hearts are kept by God's word when we keep God's word in our hearts. A wonderful phrase. Our hearts are kept by God's word when we keep God's word in our hearts. But not only are we to memorize God's word, we should meditate on it as well. That's verse 15. Verse 15, it says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. The idea of meditation is sort of like chewing God's word, digesting God's word. You know, if you were to be served, if your mother spent hours and hours and hours making for you a wonderful fancy meal, what's the worst thing you can do? Sit down and gobble it all up in 5 minutes and leave the table, right? Wait a second. You hardly chewed your meal. You inhaled it. How could you enjoy it? So it is with God's word. We most enjoy it when we chew on it. What do I mean by chewing on it? I mean thinking about it. Turning over its meaning in our minds. Considering it. And he says here, too, that I will fix my eyes on your ways. There you think about gazing at something, looking at it intently. And that's what we're to do with the word of God, thinking about it, making it part of who we are. So the Bible calls you, young people, to memorize and meditate on God's word. But it gives you a second thing. Secondly, it tells you to delight in God's word. Delight in God's word. We find this in verse 14 and then in verse 16. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Think about if today you went back to your house and you happened to be rooting around in your attic and suddenly you found this box in your attic. Weren't sure what was in it, and you open up the box, and in it you found $1 million cash. $1 million. First of all, you might wonder, where did that come from? But secondly, you'd be happy. Wow, you can do a lot with $1 million, right? You'd be happy if you found all of that. Well, the psalmist says, I will delight in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Do you realize that the Bible is a better treasure than $1 million? $1 million can't buy you eternal life. It can't buy you peace and joy. In fact, there are lots of miserable millionaires out there. But God and his word can bring you eternal life and give you peace with him. And so we need to delight, be happy in God's word. And because we're happy in it, we don't forget it, verse 16 says. We ought to delight. Do you delight in the word of God? Do you find happiness and joy in reading what it says and thinking about it? So we're to memorize and meditate on God's word. We're to delight in God's word. The third thing is that we are to pray for God's blessing on his word. Verse 10 and verse 12 actually contain a prayer. Verse 10 begins with a statement of commitment to God. With my whole heart, I seek you. And then a prayer. Let me not wander from your commandments. And then verse 12 begins with a word of adoration. Blessed are you, O Lord. But then a prayer. Teach me your statutes. You realize that as he approaches God's word, the psalmist is saying, I need God himself to make his word alive for me. You will never grow by God's word unless it is attended by earnest prayer. You need God to take away the dullness of your spirit, to open up the blindness of your eyes, to instruct your ignorant heart. You need God. And so one thing that you need to do as a young person is to learn to cry out to God. God, I don't just want to know about the Bible. I want to know you. Lord, can I have fellowship with you? Can you make your word alive to me? And you learn to pray to God and to truly cry out to God from your heart. We need God to teach us. We need to pray this way continually every single day. Charles Bridges says that daily progress in the heavenly walk is not maintained by yesterday's grace. Humble and dependent prayer must fetch in a fresh supply continually. In other words, pray each day for God's grace. God's grace for all that you need that day. God's grace to lead you by His Word. So we need to read His Word, but with a real sense of dependence upon God. Pray for God's blessing on His Word. But then the fourth and final thing that we want to say about God's Word here is that you need to speak God's Word with others. Speak God's Word with others. We find that in verse 13. With my lips I declare all the words of all the rules of your mouth. The psalmist says, with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. You know, one of the best ways to seal God's word upon our own heart is to share God's word with others. We tend to speak about the things that matter to us most. Well, does God and your salvation in Jesus Christ matter to you? Then you ought to desire that your lips would be used for His glory. Are your lips used as one of the messengers in God's service? Charles Spurgeon, we spoke of him earlier. He was a great preacher in the 1800s. Charles Spurgeon said that it will be an effectual, we might say effective, method of cleansing a young man's way if he addicts himself to preaching the gospel. Get addicted to preaching the gospel, he says. Get addicted to talking about Jesus wherever you are. He says, that will cleanse your way. That will cleanse your way. So can I say it to you, especially those of you who are young, can I encourage you to speak about the Bible? Speak about the Lord Jesus a lot. Learn to speak about Him with your classmates and with your friends. Don't be ashamed of it. When you go to college, have dorm room conversations, sometimes late night dorm room conversations with your friends about the things of God. Maybe have an accountability partner, somebody that you're talking with. How's your walk going with the Lord? How are you doing? Are you reading your Bible? What are you learning from it? And he can ask the same questions, or she can ask the same questions of you. Keep one another accountable, but speak about the Lord. Maybe have a non-Christian that you're trying to share the gospel with. And you're finding ways that you can tell that non-Christian friend of yours about the Lord Jesus. I tell you, nothing will energize you more, I think, in the Christian faith than sharing the gospel with somebody. It's intimidating, but it's energizing when you do it. You ask for the blessing of the Spirit of the Lord as you open your mouth to tell somebody about the Savior. Do it. Do it. Study the Bible. Find a group of friends to study the Bible. When I was in high school, just a group of friends of mine and me, we decided we're going to start a Bible study, our own Bible study. And we met weekly, and we went through the Bible together. Now, none of us were that gifted at teaching it. I'm sure there could have been much better teachers. But, you know, we were interested in the Bible. We wanted to talk about the things of God with one another. do that. Do that with friends. Learn to speak often about Jesus. Speak, open your mouth, he's saying. Yes, even when you are young, it's not too early to start. Talk about the Savior. Again, young people, can I call upon you today? How shall a young person, a young boy, a young girl, keep his way pure? How can you have a heart that is cleansed? How can it be? You need the Lord. Where does the Lord reveal himself but in his word? By guarding it according to your word. The Lord help you to do that today. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we do pray. We pray for those who are older in this room, that they would remember that the one thing that young people need, that their own children need, other young people that they know need more than anything else, is the Word of God. Grant, O Lord, that parents and teachers and others would seek to bring your Word to bear upon the lives of our young people. Give us strength and ability to do that. But Lord, we pray especially for the young who are amongst us today. Lord our God, we pray earnestly that the truth, and it is truth that you've given us in today's sermon, wouldn't go in one ear and out another in their lives. But Lord, that they would have that earnest desire to be cleansed, to have their way purified, to spend their youth in service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God, that they would love your word with all of their heart. We pray, O Lord, that you would help them to memorize it, to meditate upon it, to study it, to delight in it, to pray for your blessing on it, and to speak your word with other people. O Lord, might your Holy Spirit fall upon them that they would do this very thing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing now. It's the hymn, Trust and Obey. It's hymn.